This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Big City Roadhouse presents Rocky Mountain College Kickoff on KFKA. With Brady Hull, Dustin Urbis, and Mike Danson, here's Tanner Schwint.
Welcome back in, Aloe Fiber Studios. Faith, Micah says thank you as well, by the way, for letting that Dwight Yoakam breathe. Eastside Chris said, Micah, you are in control. Let it breathe, young man. I don't need you talking to that microphone after you just got done or currently stuffing your face. It's time we got to get out to Brian Roth anyways, because Brian Roth, voice of the Colorado State Rams, is sitting there talking with voice of Hawaii, John Venieri, ahead of the game tomorrow. Let's send it out to Brian right now.
All right, fellas, thank you very much. Yeah, Brian Roth here, voice of the Rams, host of the Colorado State Insider Podcast. Pleased to be joined by John Venieri. He's the play-by-play voice of the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Hawaii coming in at 5-2 on the season. Best start since 2018. They sit at 2-1 in Mountain West Conference play. Well, John, let's just start with the recent success here. What have you seen as the biggest difference between the previous 3 years under head coach Timmy Chang and what they've been able to do this year?
Well, I mean, I think he's got the right guys in place now. He's got his quarterback, a quarterback that understands the offense, that can run this offense pretty easily. It becomes almost second nature to Mike Alejado when he's out there. And I think now he's got a group of receivers that fit in well with the scheme and fit most with this quarterback. I mean, I think them speaking the same language allows them to play fast. And, they've suffered a number of sacks. And part of that was because in the games that Micah has suffered the sacks, he wasn't as mobile. He had that injury against Stanford, tried to do some things against Arizona, then sat out a couple of games. But Hawaii is very capable of moving the football. And I think the biggest thing for this has been a complete team contribution. And when I say team, I mean the coaches as well. Last couple of games, Air Force and Utah State, the coaches have been able to get plays in on time, get plays in at a time where Micah can stand up to the line of scrimmage and read defenses and look at defenses, even with guys jumping around. And so I think everything is going pretty well for the team. And when you win the turnover battle, that also helps.
Talking with John Venieri, the play-by-play voice of the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Well, of course, Timmy Chang, what a career he had there at the University of Hawaii. And, of course, at one time was the all-time passing leader in the history of NCAA, still holds a myriad of records offensively there at the University of Hawaii. But you're number four for him and won 3 years the first year, 5 wins last year, 5 wins the previous year. I'm guessing he has longer rope than other coaches there at Hawaii, but in terms of the fan base, what's been the temperature regarding Timmy Chang's job security?
Well, there you have it. I think I think he's got more of a leash. Yes. Because of who he is and what he's been able to accomplish. And I mean, when you look at all the things that you were just mentioning, and not only that, he was a high school hero here too from St. Right. Louis. He's the perfect fit. And so he's been able to maneuver coaches around him. He's lost a couple, but for the most part, he's retained his staff. And I think everybody's growing as a coaching staff together, but he really is the perfect fit. Can you think of a better person to coach your state's college football team than a guy who set records here as a quarterback at high school and a guy who has set records here as a quarterback in college? He went away, he's learned from some of the best. He's been able to be at different schools and learn some of the tools of the trade. And now he's back. And while those first few years have been a struggle for most fans, I think he does get the leash because of what he's been able to accomplish. Now he's starting to get to where I think folks are hoping and we're expecting. And I think maybe he's even gotten to the point where he's a little more comfortable now as a head coach. I think it's taken a lot of learning for him to become the guy he is right now. And he has, no good a president of a company or a president in battle has they all have good generals around him, and his coaching staff has really supported him, brought in the right players to fit into the systems, both offense and defense. And so, yeah, I think he gets the leash a little bit longer, but that leash was getting tight a little bit here in the beginning of the season or before the season started. And I think people were hoping and saying, this has got to be the year, his fourth year, this has got to be the year where he turns things around. And so far, fingers crossed, it has been.
Yeah, Hawaii sitting at 5-2, again off to their best start since 2018. Talking with John Venieri, voice of the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Well, you mentioned the quarterback. It's a redshirt freshman, Micah Alihado. And he's a kid that grew up in Honolulu, then went to high school in Las Vegas at Bishop Gorman. Now back on the islands as a redshirt freshman, and he's been really, really good here this year. I know he's been injured a little bit too, but tell us what makes him such a good fit for this Timmy Chang offense.
Well, you know, I think it's funny because you get a typical, prototypical quarterback at 6'4", 6'5", you know, 200 pounds, 195. You get a prototypical college quarterback who does certain things. Micah Alihado is not that. He's not a prototypical quarterback, but he is the kind of quarterback that fits into a Hawaii offense. We have not had huge quarterbacks. I mean, Braden Shager was kind of big. Even Timmy's a little bit taller than Micah. But for the most part, I think Micah's had to work to be who he is. I think him being in high school and accomplishing everything he did in high school and as successful as he was with such a top-tier program in high school also helped him become a good quarterback. I think they're doing things that fit him well. You know, take what they give you. He's, if you notice, he's not throwing, you know, down the field very far on every play. He's not outreaching his own arm. He's doing things that that work best for him. And I think that's really good. The other thing is, and I mentioned this a little bit ago, is that the coaches are getting the plays in a little more timely in the last couple of games. That, I think, also helps him become a better quarterback because he's able to stand at the line of scrimmage and read everything that he's, you know, that he sees. He's able to anticipate certain things like a chess move where the defense, if that guy jumps there on the snap, then okay, maybe I'll go here. And so I think he understands this offense better than most. And he's only getting better. I mean, he's only played in what, 5 college football games. I mean, and that's pretty remarkable when you think about it. It takes a lot of time for guys to grow to be the quarterback. And he's done a phenomenal job so far in the games that he's played.
Yeah, throwing for 457 yards against Air Force. And then last week, 413 yards, 4 total touchdowns against Utah State. The offense looks like it's rolling 44 points in each of those 2 games that I just mentioned. Let's flip sides of the ball. Tell us about this defense. I know they have been able to force some turnovers. They did that to Utah State. And what they were able to do to Utah State in the second half I thought was impressive too. Tell us what the defensive identity is for Hawaii.
Well, I mean, I think that you have a number of players that have that stand out, and any one player can do, you know, can be the guy that leads you to the promised land in any week. And so I think having a number of guys that can step up helps, you know, with your identity. I think that this is the best I've seen a defensive line in a long time. Hawaii has pass rushers. They have run stoppers. The linebacker core, which has always been really good under Chris Brown, seems to really understand where they need to be now, even more so under Dennis Thurman. And I think Dennis Thurman himself, Coach DT, has done a fabulous job of making things simple. It's go get the guy with the ball and do it as fast as you can. And I think that really helps. There's a scheme behind it, but that's pretty much how it breaks down. And Dennis Thurman's not a huge talker anyway. He'll let all the guys around him talk. But when it comes down to it, he has made this simple enough for Hawaii's athletes to be able to go get the football, make the stops, and in some cases, get the ball back.
All right, we've talked about offense, talked about defense. Let's talk a little special teams. And the season for Hawaii opened up at home against Stanford, and the Rainbow Warriors won it on a walk-off field goal. The place kicker was Kansei Matsuzawa. his story really is incredible, and he's drawn national attention. Give Ram fans his backstory, how he became the kicker there at Hawaii. And I'm curious, has he become a bit of a folk hero there in Honolulu?
Well, first of all, he's a good kid. That's the main thing.
Right.
He's a kid that had to work to get to where he's at. He just, you know, 2 years ago, he was the third string kicker. And he learned how to kick on YouTube following a certain NFL kicker. He would watch NFL kickers kick the ball. He learned how to kick from YouTube, went to a small school in Ohio, and then made his way all the way out here to the islands. And he has found a place. You know, again, he was a third string kicker. Some movement and some portal transfers allowed him to step up, figuratively speaking, literally speaking. and you know, it's gotten to the point where he kicked one last year, and now he's got 20 in a row. He's in elite company. And I think Colorado fans will know who he's there with. Jason Elam was a guy who had 20 in a row, not too far off the national record, to be honest. I know there's a couple of guys in front of him that have just a couple more kicks than him, but he's, you know, he's one away from becoming the Hawaii kicker. And what an elite group that he's in with Jason Elam. I mean, you know, the guy that's going to be a Hall of Famer, 2-time Super Bowl champ, and just a fabulous kicker who worked really hard himself. And I think the Tokyo Toe is a guy who has done some remarkable things, and he continues to just be money. I mean, he's just a solid, consistent player who is not afraid of getting out there and kicking a ball.
Well, again, I guess that follows logic because, look, I had some electrical work I needed to do at my house. I knew I was going to do it myself. What did I do? I went to YouTube. I had to fix my garage door earlier this summer. What did I do? I went to YouTube. So I guess it follows logic. If you want to learn to kick, go to YouTube. Well, John, really appreciate your insights on the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Great start for them at 5-2 on the season. And looking forward to hosting you guys coming up here on Saturday night. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
All right, that's John Venieri, the play-by-play voice of the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. CSU and Hawaii set to kick it off at 5 o'clock, a homecoming Saturday night in Fort Collins. Fellas, I'll send it back to you in the studio, the Rocky Mountain College kickoff on KFKA.
As always, appreciate Brian taking the time to sit down and do that for us. Intriguing matchup. Like, this is the thing. I want to be back in on CSU. But you, Brady, you know this. We were just having this conversation during the break here, that I am so stubborn when I make up my mind on something that I want to be right about it. And I don't think Jay Norvell is the guy for the job. And until he goes and wins something that hasn't been done, I'm not going to come back around on that. And Derbs, you're obviously high on Hawaii. It's a very, very meaningful game. Is it a meaningful game? I guess maybe that's a better question
for CSU.
Is it a meaningful game, or is this Jay Norvell is not John Weber's guy? He's already got half the fan base that I don't think they're jumping back on the boat because of one win. I'll be honest.
Well, that's why this weekend's a big.
I love you and Kevin. I thought that they were too high in your power rankings from Rams Weekly. Like, it was one.
Well, we had Fresno State at 3. So when 11 beats 3.
I know, but maybe up to 9.
Where do we have them?
6, right?
6 or 7.
Six or seven on there. and I'm not coming at you guys for your power rankings. But that's the fun thing about power rankings is we can disagree. I just think it's done. I think the Norvell era is done. So I'm having a hard time trying to get back excited into this thing.
Like, I guess my question for you is, what are the expectations of CSU football? Does anybody actually know? Is it just bowl games?
It's got to be better than what it is.
I think John Weber was a fan, and now he's running things. They believe with that stadium and those facilities that they should be in the college football playoffs.
Like the entire playoff?
Yeah.
Yes.
They should be the best of the rest. That's why you invest that much money.
They believe they could be Boise State from what Boise State was last year. They believe they could be that.
That's interesting to me because, I mean, like they haven't had those thoughts since I was.
And that's what excites me. That's what excites me, though.
They didn't have them before because it was a different setup. But now that there is a path for the top five highest ranked conference champions, there is a path there. Before, I don't know that it was, because they'd have to go undefeated and beat Alabama.
Right. I'm just talking like overall success.
But, Weber and Parsons, you've got the right two people there, in my opinion.
Yeah. You don't build that stadium if they don't believe. Yep. You stay at Hughes. You stay out in Sherwood Forest and you stay out there with the deer and the coyotes and stuff. But they put a lot, $220 million into that place. And it is. I mean, I remember the tour. Like it is awesome.
I've been to one game there, and it was with you, and we went as fans. But my freshman year of college, I was a Rammy, and I lived in Gruesome Newsome. And any Rams listeners know that is the worst hall on the entire campus. No air conditioning. I think we did have heating. But they would start construction Saturday mornings on Canvas Stadium at 5 a.m. I'm crawling into bed, and that jackhammer started going, and it was the worst thing. So you build this. You've invested the time. You've invested the resources. You've gone and got one of the best fundraisers, in my opinion, in the area, in John Weber. Your expectations have to rise. And from an organizational standpoint, if at the very top's hungry, everybody else has to be right there too.
Yeah, Joe Parker was not.
No, he was in the philosophy Stan's you're talking about.
And that's fair.
Let's make a bowl game.
Let's make a bowl game. Yeah, let's just win a couple of rivalry games.
Yep.
At least split them. That was, whether Parker would admit it or not, that was the mindset.
Right.
Was that
right?
I mean, 6 wins.
We're okay.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the true thing over there, then that I reside with you, because then I don't think Jane Orvell isn't, I don't think, the guy for recruiting a top tier like that. He's great at recruiting receivers and his offensive philosophy and those things, but like that overall situation, like, I don't know if you do find that guy, to be honest with you, too.
You're going to have to find a young guy, in my opinion. You're going to have to find a young guy that's got a lot of that fire in there. But, you know, I had a buddy of mine, Doug O'Connell. He's like, you know what? You never, in a management role, you never hire a four, because they're only going to hire threes and twos below them. If you hire in 10, they're confident in themselves to bring in that 8, that 9, you know, on that scale. I don't think Norvell's a 6. Like, I in terms of coaching, I think he's a 5. So he's going to surround himself with, because let's say the defense is lights out right now. Let's say if this CSU defense was stopping everybody, yeah, maybe they're having more success. But if the offense is still struggling, that DC, everyone's clamoring for that defensive coordinator to have his job. And I just don't think Norvell's that guy.
Yeah, the one thing that, Derbs, I don't mean to pick on you, but you talk about him being somebody who's going to be able to recruit receivers. That receiving core right now is not very good at all.
Yeah. History is better. Yeah. But now it's not.
Yeah.
100%.
Very good. Very good. All right, let's get a break. We've got the shame of crown still to come. We've got the picks still to come. But let's talk about what is a very intriguing matchup up in Laird. Down in Colorado Springs, right, is an Air Force game? Mm-hmm. Yeah, down south there. We'll talk about Air Force in Wyoming. Derbs, that's east. Brady, that's north. We'll be back.
We're lost.
Turn it into a karaoke. Let's go. Keep going till like 7, 8 o'clock.
At least Mike can stop with the abrupt end.
Did you say? Yeah, Larry.
For a radio producer, the fade is
especially
not,
for how long he's been doing it.
Right.
Pretty sure Derbs could be back there and be like, okay, we're going to move this button
that is
slowly.
That's producer 101.
I've done it before.
You know, see, like, right, what he did right there would get him fired. Unfortunately, we don't have that.
Okay, that's enough.
Situation.
Yeah. No one likes me, Micah. Want to punch you in the mouth. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really even joking about that. Mm-hmm. Thank God I'm HR. I'm short, but no one likes you. Air Force and Wyoming this weekend. I think we've talked about this. I think Air Force is maybe all of our favorite teams right now because they never win and they just put up points. Wyoming, obviously, with a big win last week. Where are you at on this, Derbs? Is this your game of the week, or are you still going with the UNC Sac State?
Yeah, this is still our for
gambling purposes,
entertainment purposes. This is my favorite game of the week.
You've got a friendly wager with Go Pokes.
I do. Well, I mean, he suckers me into it. Just practically, I just kind of want to invite up to Laredice once because I've never been. But
you've never been to Laramie?
I have not.
No. Oh, it's a blow. We should go up there and tailgate for a Wyoming game.
Yeah, I would like that.
I remember one time we went up there for football camp when I was coaching high school, and it was June, and it was snowing.
Nice.
If we're like, what is going? I didn't pack for snowing.
Mike, this is a pretty official show. Dustin, where you guys
talk about weather once in a while.
You
use the weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we like a lot of Air Force. Again, we just think that they score a ton of points, and I think it's the best offense in the conference, and you know what you're going to get is a lot of opportunities and a lot of yards to be gained. My friend Go Pokes thinks that Wyoming defense is better than any of the others that Air Force has faced, and I just kindly disagree a touch.
Do you guys think he's got a valid argument with the Wyoming defense?
San Jose State put up 28 the first half, and then suddenly Wyoming was pretty good. So they're good at times. I mean, they're really good for the most part.
Well, and I think that narrative's starting to change, too, on Wyoming's defense, right? And I know the competition got tougher, but after giving up 0 to Akron and 7 to Northern Iowa, 31 against Utah, 37 against CU, 31 against UNLV, 28 in the first half against San Jose State.
But the Utah game, they were on the field the whole time. Like they were actually good.
The linebacking core covers up a lot of mistakes up front. They're not fantastic, and in the secondary, they're really not great either.
So. Great linebackers, though. They always do. They always have.
Here's my fear, especially with the entertainment purposes that Dustin's talking about. Last year, right, we're like, oh, Air Force doesn't have it. They're no good. And then all of a sudden, Troy Calhoun goes, we're good now. We're ready to roll. And I just worry that there's going to be a week where all of a sudden that defense is just making every stop, because I don't know. Do you guys think it's lack of fundamentals? Do you think it's lack of talent?
Well, it could be the lack of talent thing.
One thing. So I was trying to look into Air Force defense a little bit deeper on PFF this week, just to try to figure out what is it that really makes this defense horrible. And one thing that stood out to me: 1,047 yards of yak they've given up this year. So you're given a lot of open space, and the receiver's able to catch it and run for a bunch. And they have 54 missed tackles on the season, which is 9 missed tackles a game.
Yeah.
So,
which would attribute to some of those yak yards, too.
Exactly. But you can't do those two things and expect to not give up 50 points every time.
And that's a talent thing, too. With the transfer portal, we've talked about that. Is it going to catch up to these type of teams like Air Force and Army and Navy? You can run your triple option, and that's still just scheme. You're out-scheming your opponent. But on defense, you could out-scheme all you want, but if you can't have guys that can tackle,
it's a size thing, too. You look at that defensive line, the size of the defensive lineman compared to most teams' offensive line is very drastic.
Yeah, you can't fit big dogs in those jets. So, you've got to have... Guys,
that's actually a
weight.
Great point, and that's the first time I've said that to you, and will be the last time.
Thank you.
But I had never thought about that. I had never once thought about that, Dustin. But you love this team, this game still.
I do. Most of this just comes down to two glaring things for me: is Wyoming. We talk about the explosive plays and all the yards after catch and all the other things that Air Force gives up. We want to know what Wyoming doesn't do is any of that. They're 130th in the country in having explosive plays and or explosive drives. So I will there be time and opportunities? If for some reason Air Force holds them to 21 to 24, Wyoming's offense is just the worst. If they go and they put up, the 30s and 40s and whatnot, I'm in trouble with that bet for sure. I will – I'll believe it when I see it kind of situation out of the Wyoming offense.
Well, because I felt like you had kind of the similar thing to say about when they played Hawaii, right? Hawaii likes to just do the short little passes and kind of muddle their way through. And that's, we had this very conversation here. I'm like, yeah, but Air Force can't tackle. So those teams that are stopping Wyoming from having those explosive plays, all it takes is one missed tackle and it's off to the races.
Sure. Alahadaho for, and, I think it's Ashlock, Pofeli Ashlock for Hawaii are two way entirely different things. You'll see it again in CSU here. Like, that is a well-flowing thing. Like, do you ever feel confident in Wyoming's sure. flow as an offense?
Sure.
Like, I just don't.
And kind of to play off of that a little bit, one of the things, Wyoming's offense, they average 358 yards per game, which is decent, but they only are able to put up 19 points a game for some reason. Those two numbers don't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it just gets clunky at times. Like, they have explosive runs every once in a while. You know, the end of the San Jose State game. Like, first and foremost, I don't know what San Jose State was doing in the whole entire third quarter and halfway through the fourth when they were rotating quarterbacks when their starter was still okay. So that could have been a whole nother different story. But it is what it is. And, like, I don't feel confident in the Wyoming offense. Like, I don't feel confident with Caden Anderson. The only thing I feel confident in is their two running backs. And I just, like, it's just a meh situation. And they could 100% prove me wrong because it is Air
That's
Force.
Why they
and
played the game?
Correct. And they are terrible, 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 terrible on defense. So I want to see it. But the static right now is Air Force puts up a lot of points and gives up a lot of points, and I'll trust the Air Force offense.
All right, there you go. Air Force and Wyoming tomorrow at 1:30. Be a part of the conversation today. Text us 888-530-0043. Faith texting in, getting on Micah's butt again, and rightfully so, saying that she likes Micah, but just want to hear the songs with no interrupted sound effects. That's a crazy, crazy concept.
Hard to ask that.
3:35 the time. It's Rocky Mountain College Kickoff presented by Big City Roadhouse. Who's wearing the shame of crown? We'll find out next.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
I never meant to cause you any pain. Only wanted one time to see you laughing. I only wanted to see you laughing in the purple rain, purple rain, purple rain, purple rain. Purple rain, purple rain. I only want to see you bathing in purple rain.
I think Jay Norvell's offense would approve of that song. Just choppy. Just real bad right there.
I don't really like that song.
No, it's so bad. It's not good.
That version is not great.
I think it's stuck in my head a lot.
Prince just died again.
D-E-D?
Dead.
Dead.
What do you think he had to pay to cover that?
I heard Dwight Yoakam is just the biggest a-hole, too. Not a good individual.
Hmm. Well, that makes me sad.
Yeah.
As we play him for music.
All day.
I think we're the reason he played at
Blue Arena.
1,000%
Those Spotify downloads, insane. All right, who's walking away with the crown of shame? I'm still pissed about last week. By the way. Shame of crown. I'm still pissed about last week. That coup that happened last week to get me a shout.
What?
Shame of crown.
A shame of crown was unbelievable. Like that guy in history who got stabbed. It was ridiculous because even Brady goes, I actually agreed with Tanner after I got the shame of crown. But I digress. Brady has 4. Derbs has 2. I have 1. Mike still does not have a shame of crown.
Wow, Mike.
Mike, who did you pick last week?
I had Caden Salter, 255 and 2 and 57 yards rushing.
Okay, that's pretty good. I had Zarka, 175 yards through the air, a touchdown, and then 136 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns rushing.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Brady, who'd you have?
I had Eric Gibson Jr., who had 350 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. Also ran for 15 yards for good measure.
Pretty. That's good. Pretty good. Derbs, did we have a perfect week last week?
I think I picked Owen Allen.
No, you didn't.
Anybody else sure about that?
I'm
sure.
Enough coups by you.
Sorry.
No?
I can't help you, Derbs. I got in trouble.
Yeah, I lost. I'm sad.
Who'd you have, Derbs?
I picked Dylan Carson. So, in fairness, I picked the correct position. Wrong fella.
What was his stats?
Owen Allen was 17 carries, 192 yards on the ground.
Dylan Carson had 3 carries for 9 yards. So that means Derbs is walking away with another shame of crown.
Rats.
Shame. 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 Shame, shame, shame. Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame. Shame on you. This was serious, but it turned into something fun.
So now you have 3 shames of crown.
Mm-hmm.
You are 1 off from Brady with 4.
Ooh, we're pretty good. Yeah, that's not bad.
Mike still does not have a shame
of
crown.
You have how many, Tanner? 2?
I have 1.
Oh, 1.
Hmm. Just 1. Just 1. And it's there's an asterisk. Derbs, you have the first pick. So it's going to go Derbs, Mike, me, then Brady pretty on good. The picks for the shame of crown. And Dustin, where are you going?
I'm going to go with the Rams for once. Which one do I want here?
looking at the stable of running backs?
Yes. I mean, Jalen Dupree this week.
Very good.
That's going to be bad. One of the other ones you can count are going to do way better than him. But that's where I'm going to go.
All right, Jalen Dupree off the board. Mike?
I am going to take a Wyoming Cowboy this week against that Air Force defense. Surprise, surprise. I'm going to take Samuel Harris,
okay,
the running back for Wyoming.
All right. I'm going to stay in that game, but I'm going to go on the other side of the ball and go with Air Force, and I'm going to run it with Cade Harris this week. I'm going to take Cade Harris. He catches the ball. He runs the ball, and I think there's a lot of points. I'm going to go Cade Harris.
I really want to go with Rocky Beers, but I'm not going to. I just like
you
his
picked
story.
Every other tight end.
I have.
You do enjoy the tight end position.
I do.
Mike's wondering who doesn't enjoy a good tight end.
Hey, yes.
I think I'm staying on the CSU game. I'm going to go with Jackson Brissot.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Even though I think Brady the run game will dominate. But would you, like, 3 touchdowns if he throws 3 touchdown passes and he only has
yards? Yeah, no, if, like, you still would have been safe with the stat line he had last week.
I think it's going to be a very similar stat line.
Yeah, I like it. So we got Brady with Jackson Brissot, Derbs with
a CSU running back,
Jalen Dupree, Mike with
Samuel Harris.
Samuel Harris, and I've got Cade Harris for this week's Shame of Crown. Now, are you want to look at a game real quick? We better do some DuckTales here, right, Derbs? We better do some DuckTales. Hey, Mr. Producer, when I say the name of the song you're supposed to play, how about some DuckTales?
Man, you're so mean to him.
Very mean.
Good job, Mike.
I listened to you 11 to 2, man.
Yeah, I get it all out of my system.
Let's turn that bad boy up a little bit, please.
Lasers, aeroplanes, it's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery. Or rewrite history. DuckTales.
That is like an opening to a show. Dirt just typing, and then you got the DuckTales on the back.
You just need to be searching. He just looks up and smiles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, right when it comes to
that's Derbs.
That's me.
Pounding on his computer looking for winners.
Yeah.
We have found things.
Did you find some winners?
Sure.
Last week you were right, too, in the Ohio State Illinois game. Was that last week? Indiana? Oh, no, Illinois, right? Yeah. Ohio State,
yeah.
The look of confusion from everyone in this room was quite something.
Remembering's hard.
Oh, and Brady was gone, so he gets a pass. You two, for the last segment when we did. Yeah. Thanks. Okay, Mike.
It's not from us, Mike.
This is why I bully you, Mike. Derbs, give us Team A, Team B, and let us know.
Yeah, it'll just be the featured game, so everybody out there probably knows. But so Team A, we're going to go fairly quick here. On offense, seventh overall, their best statistical category is explosive drives. They're sixth in the country there. Team A on defense, 26th overall. Best thing they do is defend the pass. And then Team B, 10th in the country on offense. Best thing they do is drive efficiency. So they find different ways to score, and it doesn't matter if it's 10 plays or one play. And on defense, they are 18th overall. The best thing that they do is stop explosive drives, and they are number 9th in the country there. And it should be a pretty close spread. Let me see up to date here real quick. Sorry, I'm not.
If I'm right, it's 7.5. Five versus 9?
Is it?
Ole Miss, Georgia?
Could be.
7.5 is what your favorite sports book of ESPN bet has.
I have 7 right now. Okay. For 7 would be favored by Team B there.
I don't know who's who, but and this is defeats the whole purpose of the segment. I'm going to say Team A was Ole Miss.
Yeah, Team A is Ole Miss.
I like Lane Kiffin. I'll take the plus 7 here.
I'll take Team B.
Without knowing who the teams were, I was all over Georgia, but knowing who the teams are, I like Ole Miss in this spot.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, going through everything here, I'm on Team B. Give me Georgia. I just think the defense is better overall. Ole Miss just lays an egg in big situations, too.
I almost laid one last week.
Yeah, and that's a huge look-ahead spot to this.
Yeah.
So, but that's not comforting by any means there either. I just think Georgia comes away just from experience wise, and that's no way to place an actual wager for those that are out there. But if I had to, I would be on.
Would Georgia. You lie bet this? Would you wait and see? You know, if Ole Miss scores first, then jump on the Georgia side.
Yeah, 100%. If I can find a number, absolutely. Or the other way around. Like if Georgia, you know, it comes out 2 touchdowns, and you can get Ole Miss for like, you know, 23.5, 24 points or something like that. Yeah, I'd be on that.
That's an auto bet for you, right?
Yeah. 100%.
Okay, there you go. Again,
on two good teams like this, yes.
For entertainment purposes only, there's only one thing left to do. Brady, it's Friday, and I've been hearing rumblings that everyone knows something.
Everybody knows that.
Knows what?
That the picks are on Friday.
The picks are on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
No, Mike, this isn't really your thing. So if you would just kind of stay out of it.
I hate you so much.
That'd be great. The picks coming up next. It's the Rocky Mountain College Kickoff presented by Big City Roadhouse.
Master, I feel we ready. They ready. Well, come on.
We
come on.
Ready.
Y'all ready. Y'all ready.
They ready.
For the picks. I am Tanner Schwint, Brady Hull, host of The Hull Show. Mike can't kill Patrick doing the production work. The dude down the hall from Front Range Spare Change. And my good, dear, personal friend, Mike Danson, here in the Allen Fiber Studios.
Wow. Whoa. That's pretty cool.
That's different.
Good for you, Mike.
Taking him 7 weeks to say something nice.
But he lied about it. He got there.
Don't hold on to it. The picks, Derbs, what's the record?
So
let's not talk about it.
Under further consideration from last week, Well, Mike, 14 and 14 overall in the year.
That's almost half.
Pretty good.
Yep.
Then Tanner, you and I, 15 and 13.
That's not terrible.
Mr. Brady Hole, 16 and 12.
Yeah.
Okay. Brady went 4-1 last week.
I'd listen to me.
I went 3-2 last
week. I'd listen to me. If I were just a random listener, I would listen to myself.
Derbs went 2-3 last week, and Mike went 2-3 last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So two of us had a winning record, and I'm still getting poo-pooed here at this spot, but yeah, it's time to go.
If you're not number one.
Where are we starting with, Derbs?
Well, the last time you asked me to start, you said it's not my turn.
What?
That was last week. And so I'm going to leave this to you. Where, what game are we starting? And then I'll go into my spiel.
I don't know. The first game. See, Air Force, Wyoming.
There we go. Air Force is minus -4 against Wyoming.
Brady, you're the leader in the clubhouse.
Air Force minus -4.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Derbs?
Air Force minus -4.
Yeah. The last I saw it was Air Force minus -2.5, so the minus -4 kind of surprised me. I
was pausing for dramatic effect, too. It was my turn, your last. So, but go ahead, please.
Here we are again.
Nobody can do anything right.
I don't know, whatever. Air Force. Minus -4.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Wyoming plus the +4. Give me the Pokes. I'm going with you. Go, Pokes. I'll take the six-pack that's being wagered on there as well. I'll take the same bet Go Pokes has if you want any of that action as well.
Of course.
I'll take Wyoming plus the +4. Now let's go to CSU and Hawaii.
CSU, a 2.5-point favorite at home.
Hmm.
Brady?
Is it my turn?
It is your turn. You're the leader.
I'm going to go CSU minus -2.5.
Dustin?
That's gross. Give me Hawaii.
I'm on Hawaii as well.
CSU.
All right, we're split there. And then UNC plus +10.5.
Yeah, plus +10.5.
Derbs?
Idaho. Sorry, Ed.
Idaho. Sacramento. How about Sacramento State?
Oh, Saxton. Sorry. I wrote wrong.
They already beat Idaho.
Still sorry to Ed.
Yes.
Give me the Bears money line. I don't need those damn points. Bears get it done. Give me Bears money line.
Bears.
Duh, Bears. This has been another edition of Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. Thanks to Right Hand Construction. Thanks to Papa John's. Thanks to Big City Roadhouse. For Micah, for Derbs, for Brady, for Mike, I'm Tanner. We'll talk to you next week.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.